Rebirth take place upon conception and not upon physical birth. Now this is the question. So Buddhism and conceptions and rebirth and astrology, so many things. But interesting question. First, he wants to know the word that we always use, rebirth, take place when the conception takes place in the mother's womb or after giving birth. Now that is the question. When we refer to the word used by the Buddha, we can settle this problem. He used the word punabhava in his language, Pali. Puna means again, bhava means becoming. Becoming again. That is called rebirth. There are few more words that all the existing religionists used for this. Rebirth, reincarnation, this is a very common word, reincarnation, and transmigration. These are the three words. All these three words can give misinterpretations or misconception when we study the real meaning of the word used by the Buddha, punabhava, becoming again. Now let me define. Rebirth. Then we create some idea or belief in our mind that I will be born. That in that concept of I, we maintain all the existing qualities, characters, and physical appearance also. That is the danger of this conception. So we cannot say actually I will be born, because that I is only a concept. In reality, there is no I to be born. Then, reincarnation. This word always used by those who believe a creator, a God. The God condition of create reappearance from time to time. That is called reincarnation, mostly used by the Hindus. Transmigration, those who believe that there is an eternal soul created by God. And this eternal soul transmigrates from life to life until it reaches the final goal of salvation. So all these three words contradict to the word used by the Buddha, becoming again. When we define this word, becoming again, by taking any form, either humans or animals or spirits or ghosts or devas or brahmas or any kinds of living beings. That is the meaning of becoming again. Life is there, but the qualities and the features and aggregates and the elements, you can see so many changes and differences. So further interpretation is given. Nacha so, nacha anyo. Further clarification. When I say, I will be born, in reality, that statement is wrong. Because here the nature so is not that person who will be born. Nacha anyo, neither another person. Can you understand this? Therefore, our interpretation is wrong when we analyze that I will be born. But cannot be another person also. Then what is the link or the relationship? Then we have to study paticca samuppada dependent upon origination, explained by the Buddha in Abhidhamma. The deep aspect or the analysis or analytical interpretation given by the Buddha about this existence, wheel of existence. Then what is the connection? When I die, certain ingredients, certain mental attitude, behavior, character, and karmic energies that I have accumulated during my lifetime, good and bad, karmic energies, and the craving and attachment that I have developed for existence, for survival, for pleasure, all these things are very strong forces. These are the ingredients which are responsible for the next existence. Otherwise, there won't be another existence. Then connection from this life to that life depends on all our mental attitude and consciousness and craving and attachment and habits that we have developed. All are there. So what we are practicing, doing, what we believe, and many of them have become our habits in our day-to-day life. So every minute, such mental thoughts are working. So when we die, all those energies, thoughts that we have created and deposited in the subconscious mind transmit together with all the mental forces. So the next life either becomes intelligent or stupid, pretty or ugly, and healthy or not, and miserable or pleasurable, depend on those ingredients which condition that life. There is nobody else, any external agency, to adjust anything there. Our own mental attitude. Others have nothing to do with this. Now you can understand what sort of connection we have. During our previous birth, we had so many habits, attitudes, and we are using. In the next existence, whatever we are using today become our habits and ingredients. When that next life is originated, we use many of those things what we are using today. That is how we continue life after life, by adding some more. New thoughts, new concepts, new beliefs, new practices, and imagination. And nature anyo, so therefore it is not entirely a different person, but the elements are different. The external elements or cosmic energies combined, incorporated, and supported the departed person's consciousness and started to develop as a life. So the conception takes place from that stage on. And there are few reasons. conception vijnanam matukuchismin okkamati. This is the Buddha word, what he said. How conception takes place. Departed consciousness, that which is transmitted from here, matukuchismin, in the mother's womb, into the mother's womb, okkamati, absorbs, enters. It is an energy, we cannot see. When an X-ray is taken, so onlookers cannot see the rays, but they can take out the film and show what is inside. So the mental energies that we transmit from here is just like X-rays. So when absorbed into a mother's womb, according to the ingredients in that consciousness, what sort of mother and in what sort of family, in which country, all these things, the environment, situation, condition, depend on that consciousness. Another person cannot adjust all this. That is how karmic energies work. Again the Buddha says, okkamitva nikkamati. Entered into the mother's womb, within few days, nikkamati, go away. Never settle down there. There are many cases. Conception takes place after few days, even without mother's knowledge, disappear. If not after few months, miscarriage, nikkamati. The nucleus of that life which was settled, occupied, the mother's womb is already departed. Then what is the cause of it? Here, again, when you use our common sense, we can understand very clearly that there is nobody to create this life in the mother's womb. If there is anybody to create, there is no reason for that creator to withdraw that life within few days or within few months. No reason. If not immediately after giving birth, also the poor baby dies. That is why I told you, our own karmic energies are responsible for all these things. What is the cause? After committing so many evil deeds, so bad karma, at the last moment when we are going to die, somehow or the other, we had the chance to recall, to remember, one of the good deeds, very minor thing that we have done. That was the last thought which appeared in that dying person's mind. No more thoughts after that. Death takes place. So what happened? Just because a good karmic thought appeared at the last moment, rebirth or existence again also taken place as a human being, not as an animal or devil or ghost or any other form of living being. But that karmic thought is very, very poor, not strong enough to continue to maintain that human life. So others are not responsible for that. That is his or her own karma. So it depends on the gravity the degrees of the karma, which condition created that conception in the mother's womb. That is why after a few days or a few months or 2-3 years time, that baby passed away, disappeared, own karma. Then what is the fate of this child? Behind, in that subconscious mind, there are so many other good and bad karmas that he or she has accumulated. So, existence again takes place, or rebirth takes place, according to some other karmic energies that this person has accumulated in their mind. So this will continue. No one can stop. Then, the question is, the word rebirth, whether we can use immediately after the conception in the mother's womb or after giving birth. Actually, when the conception takes place in the mother's womb, the nucleus of life is already originated, started. Life is there. What is life? Life is an energy. Now let us refer to the Buddha, Paticca-samuppada, how he explained this wheel of existence. After that, although it is a very deep Abhidhamma interpretation, but you can clarify this doubt if you can understand. I think nearly 2 years ago, I have explained. I think there are many new members, and those who have heard also might have forgotten the wheel of existence. The answer to this question: avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana, vijnana paccaya namarupam, namarupa paccaya salayatanam, salayatana paccaya passo, passa paccaya vedana, vedana paccaya tanha, tanha paccaya upadanam, upadana paccaya bhavo, bhava paccaya jati, jati paccaya jara, maranam, soka, parideva, dukkha, domanasu, payasa. This is the way how the Buddha has interpreted this wheel of existence in Abhidhamma. 12 link. So, interrelated, connected to each other. That is why it is called dependent upon origin. One depend on the other. So, the theory of relativity, we say, is discovered by Albert Einstein, scientific interpretation. But this is the real theory of relativity revealed by the Buddha 2500 years ago. How all our elements and energies depend on something else. Otherwise, no existence. So when we analyze the whole universe, not only one world, the scientific interpretation is either matters or elements or energies depend on something else, otherwise no existence. That is why more and more intellectuals in the West turning towards Buddhism. When they study, they can understand what the Buddha has said is true. Then, these 12 links divide into 3 areas. Last birth, this existence, and the next existence. 3 groups. First 2. Avijja, paccaya, sankhara. Avijja and sankhara. These 2 belong to our last birth, last existence, where we used these two energies. What are these two? Avijja, always we interpret as ignorance. And the other one is Sankhara, all our mental formation, mental concomitants, mental activities, mental tendencies. So whatever word we use, still it is not clear. We must use our own language, then can understand. Then what is ignorance? Ignorance directly refers to Four Noble Truths. Four Noble Truths mean we do not know why we are here. We do not know why we cannot satisfy with our life. We do not know why we are unhappy and we have to face enormous troubles and problems for our survival. And we do not know how to get rid of this problem, and by thinking that this method helps us to get rid of our suffering, we follow wrong method, wrong belief, wrong practices. That is called ignorance. All are belong to this ignorance. Each and every person, including me, still maintain some of these ignorance in our mind. We do not know. We have wrong belief, wrong idea. That's all. So that ignorance we developed during our previous birth is the main cause among all the other causes. That is the main cause of all our existence, sufferings, unhappiness. Now that is the beginning. Then, next one, because of this ignorance, we misuse our mind, our life. How do we misuse? When we are tempted, we do lot of bad things to satisfy our craving. That is the way how we misuse. When we were misled or irritated or provoked or disturbed, we do lot of bad things. We become very violent and aggressive and cruel, either to take revenge or attack or destroy, disturb or kill. These are the two ways, how we misuse and abuse. And very few of them, amongst millions, there may be two or three, who really make use of their mental energy and their life without abusing. Because of this mental attitude, this behavior, every minute, every second, we accumulate so much sankhara. What does it mean? Sankhara means good and bad habits, good and bad deeds. Mentally, verbally, physically. We go on developing, creating, harboring anger, jealousy, grudge, ill will, hatred, enmity. That mind creates enormous bad karma. They are known as sankharas. Going on accumulating, accumulating, collecting and collecting. Mind alone, without doing anything. Remember, every time when you develop your anger, greed and jealousy and grudge and enmity, you pollute the purity of your mind, you create lot of bad karmas. You never think in that way. On the other hand, by realizing this, you try to divert your mind to avoid all these evil forces and direct your mind by reducing those evil forces, cruelty, anger, jealousy and greed, by cultivating your understanding, your kindness, your cooperation and harmony, your patience, all the good qualities. And then, at that time, you create lot of sanskaras, good sanskara, mind alone. Create good sankhara and bad sankhara. Then we use our mouth, our tongue. By using our mouth, we create four kinds of bad karmas. Musa, Pesunya, Parusa, Sampappalapa. Four ways we misuse our tongue, which create lot of problems, difficulties, and create problems for others to suffer, and we also accumulate lot of bad karma by using our mouth. What are those four? Telling lies, either to harm others or do something to gain for our own benefit. Unrighteous way, unreasonable way, by misleading, bluffing, swindling others, telling lies. Everybody is doing that. Then, using harsh, wicked, vulgar language to abuse others, to insult others. Very rough and tough, dirty words. To disturb others, we create bad karma by using that mouth to utter such words. When we have nothing to do, we are going on talking all sort of rubbish, meaningless, to mislead others, wasting our valuable lifetime. Life is very valuable. Instead of talking something, either to learn, to develop our understanding, or to educate others, or to show the correct path, if not, do something for our own benefit, for the benefit of the family, in justifiable way, reasonable way, without wasting valuable time. I have noticed this in one particular country. When you go to Japan, you can notice this. The bus, train, or plane, when there are two Japanese, they never waste their time simply by talking all sort of things. I noticed this very carefully. As soon as they sit down, either the magazine or the newspaper or a book, they go on reading and reading. If there is anything very important, then they talk. Otherwise, complete silent. That is why they prosper. They never waste their valuable time. I have visited this country first time in my life in 1959. We were invited to attend a very big Buddhist conference. So they invited us to a very big hall, to the platform. And we were sitting there for nearly half an hour. we thought actually we are sitting in an empty room, there is nobody around. After half an hour time, they opened the curtain, few thousand people were sitting there, not even pinpoint sound. That is their way of life. Here the Buddha said, if you want to talk, talk something meaningful, useful. If not, Buddha said, you never make mistake by keeping quiet. Of course, there are certain occasions when you are culprit, you keep quiet. Not that type of thing. So, don't talk always. When it is necessary to talk, the more you talk, the more you make mistakes, the more you disturb others. We pollute the purity of the mind by talking all sort of rubbish. What do we talk? Always we talk ill of others. We condemn others and dig out their history, family background, and always talk about ill, bad thing. Then we also pollute our own mind. Then the next one is carrying tape. Now this is wonderful habits. We can spend taxi money also. When somebody says something against another person, if there is no telephone, we take a taxi and go there and tell, do you know so-and-so said like this, he had some more salt and spices. Then these two persons become enemies, create enmity. We become kepochis and busybodies, cannot keep quiet. Here the Buddha says, don't become kepochis. Don't go and create trouble, disturbances, misunderstanding, enmity, jealousy among others. These are the four ways that we misuse our mouth to create bad karma, sanskar. Now let us come to the other side. By using our mouth, we can console others. We can relieve others' sufferings and fear and suspicion, insecurity feeling by giving them moral support, good karma. We can talk to others with kindness without disturbing others. We can advise who are ignorant, who cannot understand things properly, with kindness. All these things are meritorious. We can preach, you can teach, we can chant to serve others. Then we accumulate more and more good karma by using our mouth, sankhara. Then the body. We always use our physical body, our hands, our legs and the body. There are three things that always we use. To commit three things, we use physical body. Panaghata, paradabha, paradara. Without using physical body, we cannot create this bad karma. Pranaghata, killing other living beings. Simply by thinking, we cannot kill. We had to use something by using our physical body. We cannot take others' things without using our physical body. And we cannot commit sexual misconduct or committing adultery without using physical body. Simply by thinking, we cannot commit that bad karma. These are the three. So all these are sanskaras. Everybody, every human being, not only human being, others also, but not like us, going on collecting all these things, this is called sankhara. These are the two energies that we have collected during our last birth. Avijja, ignorance, sankhara, all these mental activities, good and bad. Right. After our death, from that particular plane, so place, then avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. Because of these sankhara, good and bad karmic activities and energies, vijnana, the consciousness arises by depending on those good and bad karmic thoughts. If there are no such good and bad thoughts, that consciousness does not arise. The Buddha says again, imasmin sati idang hoti. Imas means asati idang na hoti. Because of this, that arises. If that thing is not there, another one never arises. Dependent upon originality, relativity. Just because we existed, today we are existing here. Otherwise, no existence here. Just because we are existing here today, after our death, another existence takes place. After that, that one becomes. So the cause becomes the effect. Next time, effect become the cause. So we are here because we had the cause during our previous birth. That is the cause. This is the effect. And this effect later become the cause and create another effect. That another effect is next existence. Here the Buddha used the word. Vijnanam mātukucchismin ukkhanti. That consciousness, that vijnana, when it is transmitted from there, that energy absorbed into the mother's womb. When this energy, karmic and mental energy, how many are there in that group? There are five. This is real dharma taught by the Buddha. Avijja, trisna, karma, upadana, bhava. Five ingredients in that consciousness that departed from there. Not difficult to understand. Avijja, the ignorance that just now I made. Trisna, yes. We have craving for existence, craving for pleasure, craving for survival in that consciousness. So it is not empty, empty consciousness. Ignorance and craving. Then karma, that sankhara just now I explained. Good karma, bad karma, karmic forces joined with this consciousness, become stronger and stronger, this consciousness. After that, upadana. Upadana means inclination, grasping, clinging, because of our attachment. Now, during our lifetime, every minute we are going on developing this attachment. By using five senses, we develop attachment. By using our mind, we develop attachment. Now, four. Ignorance, craving, karma, and attachment. Four things are. Then bhava. Bhava means karma formation. this is rather difficult. Karma formation means, just now I mentioned, when we are going to die at the last moment, some indications appear in our mind about our destiny to indicate the next existence, whether that person is going to become a human being, or animals, or somebody else. Before his or her death, that indication appeared in the mind, according to the karma. These five ingredients are there. Unfortunately, God is not there. All the others say God is there. But here, according to the Buddha's analysis, there is no God there. I don't know why. So, when all these five ingredients, now we use one word as consciousness, absorb into the mother's womb, then Vijnanapachya Nama Rupa. Because of that consciousness, Nama and Rupa, mind and matter joined together, combined together. Because that consciousness separated from the matter, from the body, after our death, here again joined together. Matter means four elements. The mind, and the formations of mental faculties. You know very well, mental faculties. Formation, combined together, started already in the mother's womb. Now then, Nāma-rūpa paccaya salāyatana. Because of the combinations of this mental faculties and matters or elements, six senses start to develop. Then development, eye organ, this organ, this organ, this organ, and body. Five senses. After that, these five organs or senses used by the mind as vehicles to bring things from outside, external objects, started to function actively. So every second, one of these senses bring an object into the mind. And this has become a real nuisance. These five things always bring external things and disturb the mind. If they are good things, then the mind becomes crazy. Then you go mad. You want to get this. If you cannot get this, then you fight. You tell lies. You disturb others. You bluff others because you want to get that. See how we create bad karma again. Now these are the problems people never realize. Then, mind itself, another sense, six altogether. Mind create mental object, mental image, according to the experiences that mind used during the previous birth. Take an example. A small child get angry. How did this child get angry? Who created this anger in that baby's mind? Small children are jealous. Who taught them to be jealous? Nobody. These are very good examples. Some children are very stingy. Don't want to give anything to others. Piece of chocolate or sweet, never give to others. Some other children are very generous. They always give to others. Who taught? You think God created these differences? No reason. Now that is why I told you, they are using the mind that they used during their last birth, previous birth. Those ingredients are there. These are the things just now I explained as sankhara, mental ingredients. They are using. So now their character, behavior, temperament, moods and attitudes, everything depend on last birth experience. And how we use our mind today, we are going to use in the next birth. In the next birth also you may go searching where the Dhamma talk will be held. Because you like to listen. This has become your habit. You go on searching whether there is any temple where that we can attend any religious talk. Some others go on searching where the nightclub. Their minds are working in that track. These are the different things. And some other gangsters and thugs by this time going here and there and see how they disturb others, rob and kill and kidnap. That is their way of life. Otherwise, who is going to create all this discrimination in this world? So there is no point of praying, asking, begging to correct all these things. We are the one who create all these things because of our experience. Now this understanding of the Dhamma taught by the Buddha help us to adjust, to correct ourselves. By realizing this, there is no any other solution. So now, the mind and matter joined and develop, then the five senses, six senses also develop. Sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnana paccaya namarupam, namarupa paccaya salayatana. Salayatana paccaya passo. By using one of these six senses, we develop attachment. Attachment means we like, we crave, we want to get, we want to eat, we want to hear, we want to see, we want to embrace. Attachment. Created by the other one behind. Passo. Passapaccaya vedana. That attachment that we created in our mind, create vedana, feeling. We gain some sort of feeling. When you look at a beautiful thing, that object, towards that object we develop attachment. That attachment please our mind. We introduce this as happiness. Oh, we are very happy to see that. Feeling. That is our feeling. Music. Sound vibration. You listen. You develop your attachment. After that, you develop your craving. Your feeling. Your emotion, human emotion aroused. Because of this sound, musical sound. Then you eat something. You say, very nice, I say, wonderful, first class. That you express your attachment and your happiness, your feeling. So all the six senses we use to please. When we please our mind by using senses in that way, we are going on charging the craving in our mind. Because we supply all these things to satisfy our craving. That means we are going on accumulating more and more craving. Then, Vedana Paccaya Tanha. Because of this feeling that we experience, very good, very nice, very tasty, very comfortable, yes, attachments create craving. Craving means you want to get it now, you want to keep more and more. Because of this, we create enormous mistake. Because we want to accumulate so much. We never develop contentment. We never think this is enough for us. We never think, why not we allow others also to enjoy their life. We never think, why should we collect and dump everything with us? Because of that craving. Trouble starts from there. That is why in many communist countries, they try to divide equally, not to collect any excessive property. But it doesn't work. I have seen in communist countries, they could not wipe out the poverty. Still people are very poor, just like here or some other country. So that communism doesn't work. That is not the solution, because the human mind is such. Assume in this country, they could manage to divide everything equal. No rich man, no poor man, all are equal. Divided everything, lands and houses and money, everything. Very good. Settle all your problems. Wait and see for at least 3-4 years. How many people become rich? How many people become poor? Why? Cunning people, clever people, intelligent people know how to bluff others. Stupid people, ignorant people become their victim. So they become poor, they become rich. That is not the solution. They cannot stop this. This is the answer given by the Buddha if you want to settle this problem. Then, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnana paccaya namarupam, namarupa paccaya salayatanam, salayatana paccaya paccho, paccho paccaya vedana, vedana paccaya tanna. So we came to this juncture, craving. After gaining his enlightenment, the Buddha made an announcement, a sense of joy, his happiness, how he expressed the relief, the bliss, the peace that he experienced at that time. There he says, Tanhānaṁ khayamajjaga, tanhā, trisnā, craving. I could manage to eradicate, wipe out my craving completely. No more craving in this mind. Craving for existence, craving for pleasure, craving for anything. No more. That is why he experienced complete bliss, freedom, happiness. So, tanha, craving, is one of the main causes for all our suffering. We never realize. And why do we get angry? Because of our craving. If there is no craving, we never get angry with anybody. No reason. Cannot get angry. Why are we jealous? Jealous never appears if we have no craving. And why do we fight? Why do we develop enmity? Because of our craving. Why do we worry? Worries never appear in our mind if we have no craving. Why do we cry? Because of our greed. And that is why you cannot see the Buddhas, Arahantas and all the holy people never worry for anything, never cry, and never laugh also. Never laugh, like us, only smiling face. Just show their serenity and smiling face, never laugh. Because laughing is the expression of emotion, and they haven't got that emotion. Emotion is connected to craving. That is why we like to listen to music and like to see dance to satisfy our emotions. We entertain our emotions, but Arahantas haven't got even that emotion free. So no worries. So we cannot stop our worries as long as we maintain our greed. But we can reduce our craving by reducing our responsibilities. That is why renunciation is important. So understanding people, after some time, having seen, experienced the real nature, they renounce. Renounce means I don't want. After that, no more worries. If no worries, right, no craving behind, and no jealousy, no anger, no enemies, free from everything. So our craving is the real culprit which create all our problems. But we can minimize. The Buddha has introduced this as contentment. Maintain only requisite necessities. What are the necessities? Food. Yes. It is not under craving. Of course, people crave. They travel by spending so much money for your petrol to eat crabs to Port Klang. That is craving. You travel so far to eat durian, spending so much money, it is craving. You have more than enough food to eat at home, not enough. That is craving. So, contentment means food, shelter for you to live, a house. What you need, only one bed for you to sleep. You cannot use two beds at a time, isn't it? You need only one bed. Many people have not even one bed. When you go to Japan, you can see not even one bed. No bed at all. Then, food, shelter. You need medicines when you are sick. It is necessary. They are not under craving. You need clothing. What is the purpose of using this clothing? In the Buddha's language, he says, we use our clothing. Dansa, makasa, vata, tapa, siringsapa, sampassanan, patigata. I use this clothing to escape from mosquitoes and flies and heats and winds and so many dust and rubbish. I use this clothing to cover my nakedness. That's all. This is the only purpose. In simple language, the main purpose of using clothing is to cover nakedness. What is happening today? Some people don't know to cover their nakedness. They open everything and decorate the other part of the body. See what is happening to human beings. Now that means they do not know why human beings use clothing. For what purpose? This is our civilization today. Mahatma Gandhi has made a beautiful statement. He says, here in this world, actually we have more than enough things to satisfy our needs, our necessities. cannot find out things to satisfy our craving. Because craving has no limit. So when you study why human beings are fighting and killing and destroying all over the world, do you think they are doing all those things just because they have no food to eat? Or they have no shelter to sleep? Or no medicine to take when they are sick? They have more than enough. So what they need? They want more and more power, more and more authority, more and more poverty. Property. More and more property. Not the necessity. All are fighting because of this. That's what Gandhi says. We have more than enough things for our needs, but haven't got enough things to satisfy our craving. Because craving has no limit. Example is given by the Buddha. When there's a heap of fire, to stop this fire, you throw more and more firewood into this heap of fire. He says, the flame increases more and more and more if you throw more and more firewood into this. So when you provide more and more things to satisfy your craving, it's exactly like throwing more firewood into a heap of fire. There is no limit. Again he says, all these river waters flow into the sea. See, never say, enough, I don't want any more. There is no such thing. Can accommodate everything into that great ocean. So our craving is just like that great ocean, no satisfaction. So all our problems are depend on our craving. So if you can reduce, minimize, maintain contentment, we can avoid all sort of worries, problems by killing. Santutti paramang dana. Dana. Contentment is the wealth. Real wealth. Wealthy people are contented people. They are very wealthy people. They are happy. They can satisfy with their life. But all the others who are going on collecting, every day grumble, every day fight, every day develop jealousy, fear of death, fear of that, then what is the use of that life? But those who have reduced this craving have no such problem. This is the nature of our craving. Then, next one, because of this craving, what will happen? The craving that we maintain in our mind. We develop this very strong inclination towards something. That is the thing that many others are aiming at by using their craving. Now if you say, after your death you want to go to heaven and enjoy your life, your craving is there. You want to gain something to enjoy, to satisfy your craving. You say you want to be born in a very rich family, to become a multimillionaire. Your craving is the cause of that. All these ambitions, craze, we develop in our mind because of that craving. So when we develop this, because of this craving, after our death, just now I mentioned, now come to the other end. Started from the last birth and spent here, got one big round, one after the other, because of this arises, because of that, this arises. Because of that, this arises. Now we come to this end. What is this end? I repeat again, dwelling, avidya paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana, vijnana paccaya namarupa, namarupa paccaya salayatana, salayatana paccaya bhasso, bhasso paccaya vedana, vedana paccaya tanha, tanha paccaya upadana. Completed. We have completed one big round within this life. Now link with the next life. Two link. Upādāna paccaya bhava. Because of that aim or ambition that we develop in the mind by using our craving, after our death, another existence, accumulations of those mental ingredients just now I mentioned, accumulations of karmic forces as sanskaras, all combined together and settled down. Bhavapaccaya jati. Yeah, again, conception. Another conception take place because of this. Because of this link. Otherwise, no. Because of this conception, then develop. Jara, marana, soka, parideva, dukkha, domanasa, upaya. How many things? Because of this birth, this existence, we experience jara, decay, old age. If no birth, we will be free from old age. Decay. There is nothing to decay. Jara. Marana. We have to face death, which we don't like, because of this birth. Now the weakness or the ignorance that we maintain in our mind is this. We like to have birth, but don't like death. It doesn't work. Now when you throw stone from here, by using full force, that stone can run certain distance according to that force, that just like karmic force for our life. And that stone must drop, never remain in the air. We never think that. When we shoot a bullet, certain distance it runs, strikes, and must. So this is the bullet, shot from the last birth. According to the karmic energy, so this bullet runs according to the karmic energy that we have accumulated in the bullets. This will decay and drop. It is natural. It is called death. Is there anyone who can stop this? Jara, marana. These two things take place because of that birth. So don't accept birth without a death. If there is one thing, there is the two end, beginning and the end. Remember this. Then, soka parideva dukkha domanasa, all sort of worries and lamentations and sufferings and unsatisfactoriness, unhappiness, disappointment, all these things take place in our mind because of this birth, this existence, this appearance, combination, of minds and matters and elements. So this existence may take place in certain other world system, either in heaven or Devaloka or Brahmaloka or somewhere else. The same situation, combinations of mind and matter again take place, but different shape, different formation, different condition, different situation. The life is there. Then, astrology, totally forgot about astrology. This question is wrong. First thing, there is nobody who can examine exactly on what day and what time and which minute and which second conception taken place in the mother's womb. Doctors may study mother's cycle and areas, calculate. That's why they say the birth, that which month and beginning or the middle or the end of the month can give birth by calculating this. It is not the conception. The controversy among the astrologers regarding this real time of birth is this, not the conception. Nobody take conception. Usually people take the time as soon as the baby come out from the mother's womb. That is the time. But many astrologers say it is wrong. We have to take the time when that baby start to cry. That is the time. That means that is the time that baby take the cosmic energy into the body. Earlier, not taken the cosmic energy by using the nose or the mouth. That is the correct time. Few minutes difference, but this few minutes difference can create a lot of changes according to the planetary system. So not the conception. Then, in the context of rebirth, a rebirth take place upon conception and not upon physical birth. Yes, not the physical birth. The word used by the Buddha, becoming again, means conception. Not giving birth, after giving birth. Just now I explained how the developments take place. So birth is already taken place when the conception take place in the mother's womb.
ආකාසට්ඨා චුම්මට්ඨා දේවා නාග මහිද්දීකා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු ලෝක සාසනං දීවෝ අස්සතු කාලේන සස්ස සම්පත්ති හේතුච සීතෝ භවතු ලෝකෝ ච රාජා භවතු ධම්මිකෝ ඉදං මේ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා.